You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this message.
And he's joined by Inez translating. And that's Pastor Jose, who's still here somewhere, spreading joy and love. And he will be joining us back sometime in the near future. He is here until the end of the month, so we will get to see him again. And there's Papa Mel. What was his picture this time? The girl. What happened with the girl? That's right. And there we are, Ben. Obviously, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. What's Ben saying there? Pray, worship, something, fast. What's Pastor Bill saying? Huh? Fire of God? And what's Pastor Ray Pat saying? Huh? More fire of God. a beautiful outpouring of the Lord. We received so much. We really did. Awesome. Okay. Now I get to hear some things.
You know, just watching that just a little bit just takes us right back. Those of us who were there, if you weren't able to be there, there is a video series or an MP3 you can get. And even if you were there, you want to buy that if you can, if you can swing it. I don't know exactly what the deal is on that. If anybody wants to speak to it, they can help me out here. But I do know that we had a sign-up sheet in your folders that you could get, and the audio series would be ready. Does anybody know when? Okay, there's a when lady.
Yes, so there wasn't a sign-up sheet in your folders. There were the resource order forms in the back where you could order and pay for MP3s or CDs, which, yes, we'll be getting to you within the next couple weeks. And then if anyone is interested in any video, then that's something that you could let us know, and we can let you know what the options are as far as what, you know, sessions you're interested in and what format you would like them in, and we'll see what we can do as far as that. So,
thank you.
So if anyone is interested in those things, you didn't get a chance to express that during the conference, you can just see me, and I can make sure that you get whatever it is that you're hoping for. Or, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That clarified it. And we are looking into various options to be able to expeditiously come up with a video options for us. We've gone different routes before in Frontline, and we're looking at something new and fresh. So we are planning on that. If that's your interest, it certainly is mine. I want to see this again. I want to watch. I want to be able to capture everything that the Lord released during Relentless Pursuit myself. And I wasn't able to be in every session at Troy and Rachel's house because I was upstairs. So I want to make sure I see or hear Ben. I want to make sure I see and hear whoever else was down there. I think Pastor Jose or somebody was down there. So those workshops were really exceptional. There were prophetic words released. There were very important things that were stated. Their impartations were very deep. And I believe that from this conference, being the eighth one, that there were things that happened there that have not happened in the other seven. And so I just really exhort you, if you weren't here, you switched off with your husband or wife and you've got little kids or whatever, get these things that you missed, or even get the whole set, because I think it will really be applicable because you're part of Frontline particularly. So many times when we go to a conference, we want to get the whole series so that we can say, hey, Lord, you sent me, or I was there. But when you're also part of the house where this is being released from those who are given vision to be able to release what it is God's saying right now, it's for you. And so you want to be able to do that, you know, for you to grow, for you to be able to step in the next place. Let there be light, Steph. Thank you. So we just wanted to take a few minutes and hear from those of you who do have a testimony of something that the Lord did. I know that Rhonda came up, you don't have to give that again, just saying she came up and was running up on Tuesday with a strong testimony, and it was just so beautiful. And Lawrence then came over and said, let's just pray for this family in a good way, it's all good. And it was just wonderful to be able to share that in the house of the Lord. And so that was fresh right after, obviously, the release. So if there's somebody who has something that they would like to share that the Lord was speaking out in their life, showing them, doing for them, or you felt, hey, I've been propelled, I don't even know why, I've been taking these steps, or I've seen this, I don't even know why, there's probably a why, and it's in the spirit. So if you wanted to share something, this would be a good opportunity to do that. So while you're thinking about that, just wanted to tell you that everybody who stayed at our house, so the whole crew was there, and it was just a riot, just so much fun, they send their love to you. Many stayed after on Sunday as long as possible, and then we went home and ate, and then some people started to leave, and, you know, that kind of went through Wednesday. So Wednesday late afternoon, early evening, rather, Inez left. So it's just been a phenomenal time. Relentless Pursuit could not have happened without you, and just so incredibly grateful for the hands and the feet, the practical side of things also, to make this happen, to make this work. Been hearing things from around the community of those who heard about it or were able to be here. Good things, positive things. So I'm very encouraged about that. And we know that Henry, we did share that. Henry Groover went home to be with the Lord, to graduate here, this earth, and go home and be with Jesus in heaven. And Henry and Peter has had an opportunity to be there all this week, and there's probably sadness in the heart because you miss your loved ones, but also the truth of how God says, this is how I look at things. And I'm sure that Peter wants to say a few words about that. And we've been holding you up in prayer, Peter. I've lost my folks, and I know the struggles and the pains behind that from my perspective, for me. So we have been sharing that for you and holding Teresa up as well. So as we smile, we know that there's tears that go with that as well, but just a sense of glory that your dad finished well and is in heaven. So praise the Lord for that. We should give a big cheer for that. Amen. That's really good. So before you share that, list from Relentless Pursuit, and I'm sure this ties in with that as well, but if there anybody else who wants to come join up here that we can just pass the mic and share this, if anybody has, you can just grab a seat. Anybody else? So I just have an idea of anybody who wanted to share something that the Lord has done or shown at them. There you go. It's going to be our lineup, so we kind of have an idea here. Anybody else have something that they would want to offer or share? From Relentless Pursuit? I'm assuming no. Moving. Okay.
I believe it was Saturday night.
A big hug.
Oh, thank you. So good to be back.
Well, God is incredibly good. And it was Saturday night. Christy was leading worship. And I think it was that song, Set a Fire in my Soul. I was just worshiping here. And as I was worshiping, I just began to see the fire of God, kind of like what Moses saw in that burning bush. And I just saw the person of Moses coming in that crevice where that bush was. And it's just this beautiful flame just coming off of this bush. And as I was worshiping and I was seeing this wonderful illustration open up in front of my eyes, I began to realize that this fire must have drawn him, because he said to the people of Israel, he said, I want to take you to the mountain where I met God. It was that mountain. And sometimes when I think about the burning bush, I think of it as this place that's on level ground. But he said, I want to take you to the place where I met God. I want to take you up the mountain where I met God. And I saw this flame that must have, I'm just going to paraphrase this account, okay? How it must have drawn him from the valley up the mountain. And this is what I saw. I saw this flame as he came around the side, peering around this rock, saying, what is inside there that's drawing on me? And he saw the flame, and as he came close, I just saw him simultaneously just slip out of his sandals as the Lord said, take your sandals off. And I just saw his toes just grab the sand, just acknowledging, wow, where am I? What is this? And I saw the flames just penetrate his soul, just going right into his belly. And it just began to draw him in. And I share this account because it changed me. It had a profound impact on my heart, because I've often thought about that moment when Moses came in, and I saw this bush that was maybe like the thorn bush that they used to wrap the thorns around Jesus. And we know it was Jesus on the inside of that flame calling him closer, because that was a moment of destiny. That was a moment where Moses went from just a shepherd who was wandering out in the wilderness, escaping his past, to someone who was now being drawn in beyond his fears and apprehensions to go and be an advocate, a rescuer for his people. And so I'm so encouraged, because this is our heritage. This is our heritage. Our Heavenly Father has come in such a tangible way, and he has provided a flame that is deeply impacting us. And I remember back, it was years ago, when Patricia King was way up in Cleveland, we went and saw her, and she was talking a lot in those days about the blue flame, and she had seen the blue flame in different people. And when I saw that blue flame burning in that bush, I remembered those words that she had spoken and even imparted to some people. It was such a beautiful sight, because this blue flame, if there is fire in the eyes of Jesus, then I have to believe that fire is drawing us out of that lonely wilderness into a place that's really, really close to him. And so God is incredibly good. And that's all I have to share about that.
Well, I have a testimony about Relentless Pursuit. But before that, real quick, about the conference, really felt like the Lord opened my eyes this year to see how important it was and how important the teachings and the exhortations that were being offered were. I think in the past, perhaps I hadn't seen that, or perhaps I felt like it was a burden to go to all of the conference. And the Lord really opened my eyes and helped me to see where I had pride in that area and helped me to humble my heart. And actually, the Friday, you know, we had been exhorted to move our work schedule around, and I didn't do that. And by the end of the weekend, I regretted that. And I'm sorry for not taking that. But it was just amazing. It was amazing, and the Lord spoke to my heart in so many different ways and encouraged me in ways that I've been standing that have been difficult in my life. But the one thing that was really amazing was that this couple that I had been very close to when I was in high school at the Nazarene Church that I grew up at, they had been like my spiritual parents in that season. And I was joking with someone, they were like our name the people in here who were close to. They were that for me in high school. And high school was a difficult time for me with some family things and some other things. And they were consistent, you know, they were consistently there for me. And they were my youth leaders. And there were even times that, you know, in high school, they said things to me that stuck with me in college when I was lost and kind of helped pull me back to the Lord. So in recent times, they've been on a journey. And Andy had encouraged us over and over and over again to be inviting people to the conference. And I was really overwhelmed with some things at work, and I was working extremely long hours compared to what I normally work. And I felt overwhelmed, and I sort of resisted that a little bit. And then the Lord, you know, helped me to see, and I repented. So then I'm like, okay, so now what can I do to invite people to this conference? And so I saw Michelle, the wife of the couple. She posted on Facebook about a family member they had who went home on hospice to die, basically, and they were desperate. And their daughter saw some article online about a miracle about someone being healed, and she posted it to her mom's Facebook page and said, "See, it's possible." And so then I commented and I said, "Hey," I told them about the conference and how we've seen many healing miracles in the nations, and I would love for you to come. So she Facebook messaged me and said, "Hey, could you call me?" So then again, the next day when I get this Facebook message, I'm like, "Lord, I don't have time to call her. I have all this stuff I have to do for work, and I'm out driving." And the Lord said, "No, you need to call her." So I called her, and I spent like 45 minutes on the phone with her, sharing about all of the healing, not all of them, but many of the healing testimonies we've seen in the nations through this ministry. And I was able to encourage her and share with her some insights I have about praying for people for healing. And I really encouraged her to come. So at first she's like, "Well, maybe we could have our kids come." Well, they changed their mind, and both Greg and Michelle, and some of you met them, they both came. They drove all the way from Cleveland to come here to stand as a proxy for their family member who was dying. And that was amazing. It was amazing in so many ways. One, because they are people that were so close to my heart, and I was so excited to be able to share with them, this is where my life is at, and this is how far God has brought me, and you guys are a part of this. So then, Pastor Jose, and I've never seen him do this before, basically started his message by saying, "If you are here as a proxy for a family member who is sick, please come to the front." And I was like, and so they were like, "Oh my God." So they came, and Pastor Jose prayed for Michelle. The first person he prayed for that he put hands on was my friend Michelle. And it was amazing. So now they grew up with a different Christian tradition. So I wasn't sure how things were going to go. And the Lord said, "Just don't worry about it. Just worship and do your thing and let me worry about them." So I didn't even look at them. I just stepped away when they were here and I worshiped. So they said they were like open to it. They stayed until almost 11 o'clock on Friday night talking to Pastor Bill. They received, like, Pastor Jose loved on Greg, and I could just see they were receiving. Pastor Mary Pat loved on them, and they stayed until almost 11 o'clock. I mean, these are adults, like, very much adults who have adult things and had an hour drive ahead of them and stayed until almost 11 o'clock at night just receiving from Pastor Bill. And their family member did actually pass away this week, but I know that the Lord did something in that. I don't know if it was salvation or what it was, but I know that the Lord moved, and I know that the Lord moved in their lives, and even them just standing and talking to the pastors afterwards, I could tell that they were receiving and that the Lord was doing things in their lives, and it was just amazing.
I just want to give a testimony of natural breakthrough that's happened since Relentless Pursuit. So this kind of stems back to 2015. I started rental houses in 2014 and 2015 in Canton, and there were some things that I didn't know that needed to be handed in, some registration fees, and the building department didn't have all the notifications, didn't notify me of different things. So a year and a half down the road, I get a letter in the mail, and it said, oh, you didn't pay 2016, you owe $500, and on top of that, you owe $1,000 late fees. And I was like, oh, wow. I went right down there. I paid the $500. And I was like, is there any way you can, like, you know, forgive the $1,000 of late fees? I didn't know about this. I'll pay early every year going forward. And they said, okay, we'll look into it. You know, and then time goes by. Oh, no, we tried this. This didn't work. Oh, but you can go to the appeals board. Oh, they got, and, you know, year later goes by. Oh, no, they don't have the authority to do that. Oh, you can go talk to the chief inspector. And so all these things, and then he ends up leaving. So all these years, you know, people not responding to emails, trying all these avenues. So finally in June of this year, they said, well, there's one final route that if this works, then, you know, then you don't have to worry about it. And then we tried that. And then on October 2nd, I got a letter back saying, no, you know, that didn't work either. You have to pay these fees in 30 days, or are we going to charge you another $100 or $250? And I was like, oh, man, that's a lot of money. And so after Saturday, when we went to the Larson's house for the workshops, when I was leaving, I just texted Troy, and I was like, hey, Troy, I'm dealing with something. I was wondering if you had any advice. You know, can we talk about it? And so, you know, we end up meeting Sunday night, and just talking with him, and I didn't go into all the details, but one of the first things he mentioned was, have you tried going to a city council meeting and speaking, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, actually, I did go to one, but yeah, I didn't get a chance to speak, but, if you think that might do something, and I looked it up, city council meeting actually meant the next night, you know? So I was like, you know what, I'll go to it. So, anyone can get 3 minutes to speak, but they don't, you know, the city council can't respond to you, you know, what your comments and whatnot. But sure enough, I just spoke. I gave, you know, about my background and, you know, my situation. And, you know, I didn't get any responses. And I sat down. And sure enough, the safety director, whatever, came up to me and said, hey, you know, can I talk to you after the meeting? And I was like, okay. And so she talked to me. She got my information. She's like, you know what? Actually, let me see what I can do for you. And I was like, thank you. I really appreciate that. Because this is my last chance. And so on Friday, I officially got the letter that after 4 years of fighting, you know, $1,000 of late fees have been forgiven, wiped off, and there's that breakthrough. So praise Jesus. Thank you. And God's using Troy and others around you to get that wisdom to speak into their lives.
Praise God. Amen. Oh, the Lord's very practical, isn't he? Yeah, he must increase, we must decrease. That impartation is worth everything, just receiving that. When Pastor Jose sounds like Papa Lion, it's when Holy Spirit is completely taking him over and he just speaks, and many times he doesn't even remember what he's saying afterwards, and he's just smiling. So it's really worth it to come and be part of that and receive that. These words are strong. and they're life-changing. These prophetic mandates from heaven are for us. And it's if it's really all about Jesus, then he must increase. We must decrease. If we're only trying to get something for ourselves, then that will go just so far. But when we're thinking of others because he must increase, we must decrease, then we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then we can love others in that order. You've heard that in this house for years, but that was definitely driven home during Relentless Pursuit by Ben, I believe, very strongly. Jesus, the Lord, really number one, and everything else will be tested, and everything else needs to be considered rubbish for the gain of knowing Jesus Christ. And that was the thrust of Relentless Pursuit in many ways. So praise the Lord. And he likes to bless us, so I like to receive that too. So praise the Lord. On that note, and we'll talk a little bit more about city council and political things in a minute, but I want to give Lawrence and Cynthia an opportunity to share the vision that continues here.
Did you want him? Yes. Up to him. Well, on Tuesday, I shared about an... there is a Tent America, which is Awaken the Dawn. There is a call for tents of prayer and worship for 50 hours on college campuses and universities. So on Tuesday night, I presented that, and we also asked for prayer to contend to actually get permission to be on the campus. And by Friday, we were granted permission to be on campus. So... So we will be at Mount Union starting Thursday night at 9 p.m. and it ends Saturday at 11. And we've been given permission to have a 20 by 20 tent there. We've been granted permission to be on the premises. We've been granted permission access to bathrooms. We've been given a lot of favor. So we're going to show this video clip so that you can get the nationwide heart behind it, and then I want to share with you some Ohio and Mount Union specific details.
There are huge moments in history where God will release a strategy to shift a nation. In 2017, 1,600 worship teams gathered on the National Mall in 58 tents, round the clock, day and night. Worship, prayer, and the proclamation of the gospel exploded on the National Mall. In 2018, it was every state capital and about 101 campuses across America all at the same time. We believe the tents, working in synergy with stadiums and local communities, are a silver bullet for this moment. Join us October 17th through 19th for Tent America 2019. We're inviting America to step into a gospel movement. It's not just come and see, it's also go and tell. The worth of Jesus is going viral. This is a rescue mission to a generation, and you can be a part of a historic moment in our nation.
Yes, so that is the invitation and we believe the call from the Lord for this house, for this season. We are not having this year our fall young adult retreat because we felt this is what the Lord had for us. So instead of coming in, we're going out this time, and it's an awesome thing. When I spoke with the Ohio State Representative, she expressed that we were a true answer to prayer from their perspective because they had been praying and contending for intent in our area to open up. The closest one is Columbus. There's some across the strait and state line in PA, and I think there's one in Toledo. So this whole area had not had I believe we're the only one at the moment. So she was very expressive and thankful, knowing and understanding that we had a conference that we had just gone through and everything else that we're involved in. So there was a lot of appreciation and just hearts joining together saying, this is the Lord, and he's saying, do this. So then we get the yes from the campus, and so here we are, and that's happening in like, well, what is that, 4 days? 4 days, 50 hours. And so the invitation, obviously, for anyone to join in, this is for our entire house. Families can come, little, big, tiny, whatever shape, size, color. And it's a simple setup. It's unplugged. It's if you can pray and if you can worship, come. Bring your acoustics. Sing out to the Lord. There's two-hour time slots. That I have a sign-up sheet here. Not limited to 2 hours. You can sign up for as many as you want. I will be there Thursday night. Lawrence is going to be there all day Friday, and I will be there all day Saturday. So this isn't about filling up a time slot, because the 50 hours are technically covered. But this is an invitation to keep that fire burning that we heard about and we received about. This is about joining in into the call that we have in our lives to worship and pray before the King of Kings and to usher in his presence onto a campus that a year or 2 years, I don't know what the timetable is, they cut off their relationship with the church, Methodist Church, and they are no longer considered a religious institution here. Just this year that happened. Thank you. So this is a campus that we've been on for how many years? Somebody help me here. A long time. 18 years. The other day. So we just... a stirring in our hearts to reclaim that land and to soak it in prayer. It's also alumni weekend there, so it's football and a lot of things happening. So it's the perfect time, I believe, that we have a tent there to worship and pray and usher in the presence of the Lord. So there's time slots for prayer. There's time slots for worship. And please sign up. And we send out a link on Friday. If you want to, you know, for the Google document, or you can sign up here and I'll update the document. But this is happening. this is happening, and it's so amazing and so awesome. So 50 hours. Mark your calendars and get yourselves there, because it's going to be good. Because as we decrease, Jesus increases, and the fire of God continues to burn. Yes and amen. All right. And somebody will be coming up. And here we go.
That was good. And all of you know that last year we were in Columbus. This is the third year now for Awaken the Dawn, this national movement. It's a movement. Okay, a movement where we just get to move. And last year we were in Columbus at the State House on the Capitol steps. That's okay. And we were also at a place called 7 Days of Praise, which is a campground where people for many years on Jewish festival dates particularly would gather, meet, pray, worship, and there's a pattern there for I don't know how many years. Great people. So we did both as part of Awaken the Dawn. We were not able to fully participate with another leg of that, which was the campuses, and that was just like a step in the park that didn't go in a lot of places for last year. This year, the Liptacs are heading this up. We're doing it. We're pouring all of our efforts in, and we're able to do it. Last year, when they tried to do three, it was just like, well, I don't know. We don't have any more people here. We're, you know, this is what we're doing. So last year, it didn't happen. Very many places, actually, in the country, and especially Ohio. But it was an idea. And so this year, it's taking root, and I think there's 400, more or less, campuses around the country now. But you can still see how sparse it is in Ohio. And as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. And we've been on these campuses for a long time, in 17, 18 years at Mount. So, you know, this is phenomenal that we got the clearance for a non-spiritual campus. And they said, okay, and we're going to have worship and prayer to the Lord. I mean, really, this is amazing. The first year, just go back a couple of years, the first year we were in Washington, D.C., and there were 40-some. I don't remember. There were a lot of kids. Some kids, so that's between 40 and 50 people. And you guys heard about it for the first time and said, hey, let's do this. And we had 50 tents for Tent America, Awaken the Dawn, 50 tents on the Capitol, what do you call that? The mall where the Lincoln Memorial is, the Washington Monument is at one end and the Capitol building's at the other. And so we were involved in worship and we were involved in prayer and intercession. And for those 2 years, the one in D.C. and the next year in Columbus, we were heading up the evangelism for the state of Ohio. That's really cool. So for us to be able to do this at Mount Union, you know the evangelistic call on this house. So it will be very evangelistic as we worship and pray. And we will be there, as Cynthia said on Tuesday, and Lawrence, we're going to the people. And when you do that, I mean, the Lord really rocks it. So it's going to be amazing. So I just pray that you'll be able to put that in your schedule and be part of it, however that works. One thing I want to say among many, while the kids are still here and all the parents are here, is that we're in a very pivotal place in our nation, in our state. Very pivotal. Things are happening so fast that you just kind of have to step back and go, whoa, what was that? Sometimes you tune into the TV and you'll see President Trump and he's just, you know, saying, here, I'm not going to be impeached and here's why, but here's really what's going on. So last night was one of those times, and he was very strong. He was very direct, and this is not about a political comment or little message here that I'm giving. This is about the heart of the Lord that I want to share. On Tuesday last week, right before Relentless Pursuit, we had a group of people in here on Tuesday night, a small group actually, but that's okay, to be able to pray and stand and intercede for what the Lord's doing in our region, particularly. So one of us was able to speak a little bit about King Cyrus and King Cyrus in the Old Testament being lifted up as a non-believer, if you want to call it that, a Persian king to be able to lead the Israelites out of captivity, to be able to help them eventually. And so it's prophesied by Isaiah before Cyrus was on the scene. So I shared about that, shared the scriptures. And those who have a prophetic voice in the nation have been given that, seen that, declared that even before President Trump took office. One of them was Kim Clement, who has gone home and graduated. He's now with the Lord. And Lance Wallnau got the same word. He felt maybe because Kim had become very ill that the Lord gave it to him. Maybe other people in the nation, but these are people who are seen and followed, and et cetera. And so Lance was right there meeting with President Trump, and he was supposed to meet with Kim Clement. And Kim was sick, had a stroke, didn't show up, and wasn't able to give this word. So Lance did. And then Lance had this and started to grow more prophetically in this. He's been on the circuit for a long time. He's had a lot of people follow him for different things. And he talks about the seven mountains and invading the seven mountains. And most of you know about him. I had an opportunity to see him 2 weeks ago and listen again to this prophetic word that was also shared last Tuesday. It was mentioned anyway. And what's going on right now that we need to know about? Because when it comes right down to it, when you send your kids out the door and they're going to go to school, you need to know what's going on in your community. So everything political, if we just turn our back and say, I'm not political, well, the Lord says, guess what? We want to see my kingdom come and will be done right where you live. So you have a responsibility to be political, if you want to call it that. Not aligned with a political spirit, but aligned with the spirit of the living God, with that fire that Peter's talking about, to be able to be infiltrating different places for the sake of the future, not just the now. So you take a look at all these little kids in here, and they're going to be faced with things that when you were little, you were not faced with. And they're getting it right now in the schools. So there are things that are happening. The Lord says, as Ohio goes, so goes the nation. So what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? How are you going to take a step forward to educate yourself, to be part of what you can do? While you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because that actually is the gospel of the kingdom, that you're taking a step and becoming more knowledgeable and understanding that it goes beyond just registering to vote. You got to do that. But then you've got to realize what's at stake and what's happening right now. So I was encouraged to hear that Justin was going to city council to get something rectified from a perspective of his own, for his own life. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Troy, for encouraging that. We can continue with that to see what's going on in our local region, okay? The Lord one time a few years ago sent me by myself to city council to be used to stop something that was very big in the area. And I didn't know how he was going to do it, but he did it. And the vote just went boop, just switched. And I really believe it's because I was at the right place at the right time, give total glory and credit to the Lord, but was able to say the right thing to the president of the council between sessions. And he was so discombobulated spiritually that the people who were around him who would have followed him to the moon, they recognized something's really wrong with this, and they voted the way of the Lord. It was phenomenal. I'm telling you. And that's just from hearing the Spirit of God. Nobody knows about that. It doesn't matter, but the Lord does. So he wants us to hear what he's saying to the church. Let the Spirit, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church right now. So I want to show you something before we release kids. And then we'll go through some of the scriptures to support that. Not the other way around. But I want you to get this so you can see where we are, what's going on, what's coming. And let me just preface it by saying, when I was talking to a state representative on Friday, praying for him down at the Capitol building as part of the Capitol Project in Columbus, he said, and he's in this area, he said that what's going on that most people don't understand and know is like a freight train and like a super freight, a locomotive, not a freight train, like a locomotive going down so fast you're going, oh, but it's going down the wrong track. And he said, it's just staggering what's happening at the political, on the political front, not just when you're watching the news going, I can't believe President Trump said that, you know, or whatever. The Lord says, I want you to see what I see and stand for what I stand for. And I'll use anybody I want because there are things that the Lord has put in place for us that the enemy wants to steal away. And he's having a field day right now. So he's calling us to be able to see with spiritual eyes. Okay. So those two pictures, if you can put those up. Okay. Watch this. I want to show you what Pastor Bill and I went to a meeting right before Relentless Pursuit, a couple days before. No, not the verses, the pictures. Oh, okay. All right. And we went to a meeting at a local church, and we felt compelled to do that. And it was about Citizens for Community Action. We didn't know too much about how this group operates, but we're very involved in part of it now in a way that will be very helpful and proactive. And there's what's called the Capital, C-A-P-I-T-O-L, the Capital Project, which we're part of. Before you get to that, the two that Carly just put up, that's what we would like. Yes. This is called Citizens for Community Values. I want you to look at that. I want you to think about these words. Okay? Look at that. Because I know sometimes it's like, yeah, I saw something in church, I don't remember. But look at this. Citizens for Community Values, CCV.org. All right? There's mom and dad and child. As Ohio's Family Policy Council. Now, we're talking Ohio here, not talking the nation, but it's starting in the nation as well. Citizens for Community Values seeks the good of our neighbors throughout Ohio by advocating for public policy that reflects the truth of the gospel. Okay, so get that part. This is not just a nice little social group. This is a group of people who want biblical values to be able to be not only considered, but trumping and pointing out that which is antichrist. We endeavor to create an Ohio where God's blessings of life, family, and religious freedom are treasured, respected, protected. Treasured, respected, and protected. That involves a complete DNA change for human beings to be able to say, yeah, I embrace, yeah, I treasure, I respect, but protected, there are things that we can do. And if we are educated and we have the Spirit of God, the Lord can use us as a stealth bomber to be able to go in and affect change. and someone who might, right, you know, be on the edge of, I'm getting a lot of pressure. I need to introduce this bill because everybody believes it. If they are encountering someone who doesn't, who cares about them, who can help them see why this would not be a good idea, do you know that could affect your own children? That could affect all the children in our counties in Ohio and parents. It's a very big deal. It's not for, well, it's for Amanda because she's an attorney, you know, or it's for Michelle or anybody else who would be in that realm, okay? It's very, very important. Okay, the Hoovers, I don't know if you know them. The Hoovers are back here, and they are a new family. I don't know if they're here today. Do you see them? Maybe they're not here. Okay. Anyway, get to know them if you don't know them. We endeavor to create an Ohio where God's blessings of life, family, and religious freedom are treasured, respected, and protected. Let's go to the next picture. Can you see that one? Put that one up, please. Core issues for a thriving Ohio. Now look at the approach, first of all, on the right. See this? Value people. Now, is this Jesus? Y'all want to look at this and see it? Okay? Watch. Value people. Be positive. Be professional. Be thoughtful. That's the approach. That's using the wisdom of God with all people who disagree with what you believe Jesus is saying. Very important. Value people, be positive, be professional, be thoughtful. Core issues for a thriving Ohio. Now take a look at this, because it's not enough to go out to lunch with someone and say, you know, I really believe in boom, and I really believe in this, and not then be able to or feel confident to be able to take a step beyond that. Because if we're connecting with people, there's something we can do. Whether it's on our campus, whether it's in the break room when we're going to work, whatever it is, we might be taking, you know, taxi ride, Uber or something, and we've got something to say, thinking, this person needs Jesus, but this person who needs Jesus is working against Jesus, so I can do something to help that person see. Okay, so check this out. These are core issues for a thriving Ohio. Religious freedom, ensuring Ohioans are free to live and work according to their faith. We all like that, right? Don't you like that freedom that you have right now? That freedom is on the edge of being taken away. Now, last night, President Trump was very direct. He was talking about, you know, and he's who he is, but in this season. But he was talking about the religious freedoms. He was talking actually all about these core values for Christians. And on Friday, he sent $50 million to Syria. $50 million to help the persecuted Christians. So there are a lot of things that he's doing and the people that he's trying to work with, even in ways that you might not think are really all that great. Maybe there's abrasion and, you know, you wouldn't say something that way. But the truth of the matter is, our rights that you are and I are enjoying right now have been at risk. He knows it, and this group supports him, but it's not about him. It's about this ideology that free speech, right to life, human dignity, religious freedom, government transparency and accountability, strong families and educational freedom. It's getting to the point, or it's already been to the point, where it's extreme one way or another way. And the choice isn't really too difficult if you take the time to see it. However, there are things that we can do right now. If we are a mission base, our mission is to agree with what Jesus has done for us and ensure that and protect it, to take steps to do that, but never losing sight of what Peter was saying and others about the fire, Because if we're not walking closely with our God, we can be used by the enemy to just muck it up ourselves for our religious stand instead of our spiritual stand. Big difference. So, this will be for intercession and prayer, but that's not separate on a Friday night when we have fire and incense. That's for who we are. That's for you in your homes, with your family, with your children. Okay? My grandson, our grandson Judah, is old enough to understand what's at stake in this country, as he would hear from us here at church. He's sitting right here, standing right there, and as godly parents who would drive that home. Same for you, because our kids need to be aware, even if they're in a different school. There are lots of kids who are not. And there are things that are happening that are taking these freedoms away, and we can do something about it at the local level if we realize that we have the backing of heaven, the confidence of Jesus, the mouth that he would give his prophetic people to be able to move something in a way that can bless the people. So the ones who are not going to a school where they wouldn't hear these things would be able to feel safe as well. Okay? All right, so take a look at these issues right here. And what I want to say to you, if you can put up the other pictures now, this is what happened. Pastor Bill was going to a meeting in Canton, and I went to the meeting in Columbus. So we're part of this capital project. You know, it's who we are when we take the gospel of the kingdom around the world. So people are stepping in to do what they can do. So right now, the first entrance in for me personally was to go to the Capitol building. And those of you who know the seal for the state of Ohio know that it's a prophetic seal. And know that with God, all things are possible. It's written right there. And we were looking and praying over the state constitution for Ohio and meeting lots of people in the House and the Senate. And the reason I'm showing this picture, you can put the other one up because I think it shows the arrows. There's two that I gave you. Did I give you two? Yes, that one. Okay, the first one, if you saw right behind my shoulder, you could see the bale of wheat, you know, the harvest fields for Ohio that are going out, that God is saying, I'm bringing revival. I'm using your state to do that. And you see the arrows, the quiver of arrows here. You see there are spiritual connotations for the seal for the state of Ohio. It's in the ground. You can walk on it, but it's also, you know, as a stained glass window. And if you see all those arrows around the top, or they could be leaves, whatever you want to say, they're either leaves for the healing of the nations or they're arrows to be able to be pointed upward towards Jesus Christ. Because our country was founded on the ethics of Judeo-Christian background, okay? So we've got something to say. And it's not like it's gone so far we cannot do anything for God. It's not true. We can. We can affect change. Well, I'm not political. Well, I'm not either. I'm spiritual. I don't like political and religious spirits. But I've got a voice, and I can do something in any realm that affects people. And you just ask the Lord what that would be. So as part of the Capitol Project, I just need a couple guys to bring this over because I'm going to pass something out, and I want to share something with you. There are some things that we can do right now that can ensure or have an opportunity to ensure making a difference and changing that, thank you, that which would affect all of us, actually. There is, there's one more video I want to show. It's like a minute video, and I think I gave that to T. Thank you guys thanks to you for putting all this stuff up at the last minute. Appreciate it. But this is about this Equality Act of 2019. It's from a national perspective, but this Equality Act is really supposedly, or Equality Fairness Act. This is an act that would bring about the transgender supposed rights, okay, and sexual orientation, those kinds of things. Those things that are being pushed so strongly that there's venom and anger from anyone who's thinking that they would not be, that they would be discriminated against. And it's not really, it's very, it's not clear, but it's very much as an act that is trying to bring about something that was not intended. It's supposed to be an addendum to the Civil Rights Act from 1964 that was basically about African Americans being able to get into the workplace and do things they wouldn't be able to do because of segregation and different things. And they're now tacking on all of the sexual identity, and they want to redefine what sex actually is, gender identity, those kinds of things. Redefine it completely contrary to the Word of God, completely. So this is very quick, if you want to play that, 1 minute. Okay, this was just introduced. I just saw this morning, but watch. Nancy Pelosi introduced this dangerous bill this week. This Equality Act would open every girl's locker room to males who self-identify as female. Doctors would be pressured to give puberty blockers to children. This is on a national level, over the objections of their parents. Employers would be required to provide medical insurance for gender transition. And open discordant restrooms and open restrooms and use misnomer pronouns. The so-called Equality Act undermines fundamental freedoms. It mandates a single viewpoint on sexual orientation and gender identity. And it's growing, it's rampant. It violates the rights of Americans to peacefully live and work according to their own beliefs. Congress should resist the deeply authoritarian impulse that this bill represents. This is called the Heritage Foundation. If you ever want more information, you can read all about this Equality Act yourself. Just over a cup of coffee. Read about it so you're aware. So these little ones will grow up and hopefully not have to face what we have to do something about. Okay? And so that's why I'm bringing this up right now. But what I wanted to say to you about this, before we dismiss, because I want everyone to hear it who's here today. Hi. This is for you. Yes, you don't even know, but it really is. So this citizen, Citizens for Community Values, let me just read to you something that's in the hopper right now that needs action right now with the people who are pushing something extremely, extremely dangerous. And it can stop. We can actually have a voice and do something about it. You don't want to be penalized for beliefs about marriage, penalized for beliefs about biological male-female sex. It's great to be able to go to a national day of prayer and say this is what we believe and pray, and we should, and we do. But also, if we're not aware of what's being pushed right underneath our nose, where all of a sudden we could get something from our school board that says, this is what we're teaching, and you have no say, and say, well, I'll just send my child to a Christian school. You can do that. But there are millions of children who aren't going to a Christian school. So if we're thinking not just about our own family, but we're thinking about others, we can really be used by the Lord and make a difference. So as part of the Capital Project, I was able to be part of a very small group, about 3-4 other pastors, and a gal who's overseeing this, as a liaison, meaning going into the various counties, there's 88 counties, and trying to speak to pastors who want to hear and then do something about it. So, about some of these issues, if we can, because we have the freedom to say what we want to say. And that's what we're doing. We're saying what we want to say based on the Word of God. And that's coming in a minute here. So, it's all in the Word of God. So, We were able to do many things, but some of the things included going to a couple state reps and going to their office and then asking the Lord what they need and giving them what they need, offering them what they need. So giving prophetic words, laying hands and praying for people. It was amazing. And the spirit of the Lord was so powerfully doing. But there is something going on right now that could affect you guys. And this is a legislator, and this is all public information, but I'm going to make it available here. I don't know if it's all on here. But this is a bipartisan. You know what that means? Where you have a Democrat and a Republican coming together. That might sound really good, but it's not. And so there is a very strong agenda that's being pushed a certain way. And the Republican on here, which is the man in the forefront, and he's down in southern Ohio, and his name and number, I believe, are on here. If not, I will make sure that you get it. But this particular person is co-sponsoring with a guy from Lakewood. He's co-sponsoring something that was submitted last week that has a week to kind of play out, that is kind of what's called a copycat to a bill that's in the Senate that's called SB 11. And this is playing off of the Fairness Act. It's called the Ohio Fairness Act, but it's playing off of what you saw up here. Okay? And so this is something that the Lord is wanting us to know about, do something about. And there was a big phone call with pastors on Friday to do something, to say something in their, you know, if they want to. Well, I want to. So you're getting it. So you have an opportunity to call the state representative, email the state representative, and it's not about Frontline. You don't need to drop names. That's not what this is about. That's not helpful. It's about you saying, no, I'm not okay with this. All right? And what I was told yesterday was this guy who got into office, and actually, well, I won't say any more about that. He just recently took office. This is his first go at anything. And he is thinking that this SB 11 bill, known as the SOGI bill, which is sexual orientation and gender identity, that you know, this will just be a tag on, and this will help us in our schools, in our districts. No, it's bad news. And this Citizens for Community Values, they're pouring everything they have into this right now to do anything they can do carefully, wisely, to stop it. Because there are big organizations behind it, tons of money and funding behind it. It's like the train that's going, and it's just like whoo, going past you, and it's going down the wrong track. And it's coming in fast, it's coming in furiously. So I will pass that out, and you can do something between now and Tuesday, and I'll find out more of the timeline, because if something is done with this, it will affect you and me for all of Ohio. That's how dangerous it is. It's a dangerous piece of legislation to affect our family rights and privacy, freedom of speech, our rights, our First Amendment rights to be able to speak. When we disagree with someone, that's not discrimination. But when you disagree with someone, you are accused of discrimination. That's the danger. Let me say it again. If you disagree with someone on that, you know, God believes in marriage, you are accused of discriminating against people. And there are ramifications of how this will affect or could affect people in the medical realm, in the educational realm, the business realm, our family values. So it's time to jump in and educate ourselves a little bit more. So I want to just say a few more things about this, and then we'll release the kiddos. Underneath Citizens for Community Values reads, our laws should respect the constitutionality, the guaranteed freedoms of every citizen, but the so-called Equality Act fails to meet this basic standard. It would undermine women's equality and force women and girls to share private, intimate spaces with men who identify as female. In addition to denying women fair competition in sports, there are similar, it's happening in similar states. It would force Americans to participate in events and speak messages that violate their core beliefs. Disagreement on important matters such as marriage and human sexuality is not discrimination. This bill and similar proposals such as Fairness for All, which is the one that I'm going to pass out to you that affects us right here locally, undermines human dignity by threatening the fundamental freedoms of speech, religion, and conscience that the First Amendment guarantees for every citizen. Americans deserve better than to be profoundly involved in this. This profound inequality proposed by this is considered to be, from God's perspective, intolerant. But anyone who sides with the Lord is accused of being intolerant. It's deceptive. It's deceptive legislation. And if you're not looking at things, thinking about things from that perspective and say, what can I do about it? All you'll do is say, let's turn off the news. Let's not pay attention. That's just stupid. Sorry, not calling anybody stupid. But in this day and age, people who realize that these freedoms are being taken away because they don't want to see what's really going on, that's burying our head in the sand. We can't do that any longer. If we're going to stand for persecuted Christians overseas and we're going to go into all the nations, we have to understand what's at stake here and what the risks are. And in this house, you will hear it, and you have before, but this is something that just came to us recently. There is something called ADF, and this is called the Alliance Defending Freedom. ADF. Can you say ADF? Alliance Defending Freedom. And this is a nonprofit legal organization that is it advocates for these various rights. And it's something that you want to think about. ADF, Alliance for Defending Freedom. Okay? This is harmful legislation. This is not just, oh, we're going to have this stuff until Jesus comes. Probably so, to whatever degree. But it's harmful. And if we can do anything about it, wouldn't you love people to be able to look at Stark County or Tuscarora County or the state of Ohio and say, I don't know what happened, but I want to see what they did, right? And so that's what we need to think about when we're like this, going through this. This what's being suggested here, let me read it to you because I don't think it's on here. One second. Okay, let me read a few things. Can you imagine men going into the showers with women if they claim that they identify as a woman? They can do that. That requires boys to be able to go in to the bathrooms, etc. We already are dealing with this thing. Listen, this could allow state government to remove children from parents' custody who don't consent to dangerous conversion hormone therapy. I already read something like that, but I'm saying it again. And forcing doctors to participate in gender transition surgeries and procedures requires businesses to participate in same-sex weddings, even if the wedding violates their beliefs. Again, this is not new. It's just hitting home. And it's hitting home fast and furious. So this Citizens for CCV is absolutely just rising up very quickly, doing whatever they can do. And we'll be a voice for these people as well. And then bottom line, last thing I want to say. Let me see, 1 second. There was something sent out to pastors, and it says, we need a strong, unified front to help understand, help these people on here. The one in the front is the Republican, but with a definitely not a Republican agenda. We need a strong, unified front to help understand that this bill is unsalvageable, which is the Soji bill, which is what I mentioned to you. You can look it up. You can read it. And nothing that they're doing to tack onto that through this Ohio Fairness Act, this is going to be helpful, redeeming, or anything good in any way. It's evil. The people who are behind it are carrying an influence of evil. People are made in the image and likeness of God. And yesterday, President Trump said that every life, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God. We are for life. He said that. So, you know, you may disagree with stands on this or that or the other, but when it comes to our basic freedoms, he is moving that way, and he's being fought on every front. So, if you can call Brett Hillier or email him, you can email the other one as well. There's an opportunity. Also, the Speaker of the House, his name is Larry Householder, he has an opportunity to influence these guys at the beginning of the week. He can do that. And so he needs to know that we are saying, no way. So he can say, Brett, what are you thinking? This is crazy. You're not going to, whatever they would say. It might not be, really, it might not be because they love Jesus. It may be because Christians who love Jesus are saying, not on my watch. So that's why it's important. So if you can do that, that would be helpful. 1 second, Amanda. So this bill, the fact that it has bipartisan co-sponsorship, it makes it absolutely worse because now you have the Republican and the Democrat coming together. It looks like it's unity, but it's false unity. So this threatens religious freedom, parental rights, and privacy, and it's already been introduced, and it's a copycat bill just like this SB 11 that I'm talking, the Soji bill I'm talking to you about. So I have all kinds of information. Let me give you a phone number, and you can write it down. If you want to call, you can do that. It's 614. You ready? And you'll have everything in here except I don't think the number's in there. So when you get this, anyway, the number to call this person, his name is Brett Hillier, is 614-466-8035. He's not from Canton, he's from Eurexville. But he's representing Ohio in this from a Republican perspective. Not a good idea at all. 614-466-8035. Okay. The other representative who's up in Lakewood, here's his number if you want to call him. 614-466-5921. I'll say it again. 614-466-5921. His name is Skindell, Representative Skindell. The last one, Representative Skindell, is 614-466-5921. His name is Mike. He's in Lakewood. Mike Skindell, Representative Skindell, Representative Hillier, H-I-L-L-Y-E-R, from Eurexville. Mike Skindell he's a Democrat, Mike Skindell. Brett Hillier is a Republican. Let me give the two numbers again. 614-466-8035 is Representative Brett Hillier. Representative Mike Skindell is 614-466-5921. And there are, I have more information if you're interested. I'm just going to transition now here. Let me see if I covered everything. And I want, we need to really be praying for Reggie Stoltzfus. He's a Republican. He's in Stark County. And he's brand new to this, but his eyes are really opened. So, one second here. So this is there's urgency in this. And I think that's probably good for now. So let me ask if you would like to take one, we can pass this out. Can somebody help me? This is about legislator Brett Hillier. It's quoted saying he's a constitutional conservative. And it's in quotes. So it's dangerous. It's not helpful for us. Okay? If you are pro-life, you believe in the sanctity of marriage, which if you were at Frontline, you know, there's no requirement, but you probably won't stay eventually if that is completely against your ideology. But we do stand for that, and we're very clear about that because it's basically what we give scriptures for. We stand for the right to life. We stand for the sanctity of life. We stand for human rights. We stand for our constitutional rights. Okay? We stand for marriage as God intended. And anyone who struggles, and that might be you in here, if you struggle with any kind of orientation other than that, we love you and we want to help. And there have been people who have been brought into freedom to see how much God loves them and wants them to live in the area of freedom in these realms. Okay? So we're not against people. We are for what the Word of God says, and we want to help people out of bondage because we know Jesus and we know what the Word of God says. So if that's ever been, you know, something that you've struggled with or you still would need some help in, there's no judgment about it. There is love, grace, but let's go to the other side so you can experience the fullness of Jesus and not lead others down the wrong path. Does that make sense? Okay, so Father, I just thank you for what you're doing today. And thank you, Father, that the words, the scriptures, the few scriptures that we'll put up here to support the fact that we're to call and to live righteously before you, Lord, let those meditations on these scriptures just drive deep into our heart. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. Let it be. Let it be, Father. We don't fear evil. We are walking in the awesome fear of you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Everybody have one if they would like to take action. Mandy, did you want to say something? You can call your local state. Yes. Scott Olschlager knows about it. They all know about it because it was introduced last week, but I don't know where they stand on any of it. It's the best thing to do, honestly, is call these guys. It's called Brett. Directly. That is the most effective for right now, because in the letter that you have, you'll see a memorandum at the bottom, and they're reaching out saying, if anybody wants to join the bandwagon, we have Tuesday at 5, and there are hundreds of thousands of dollars, more than that, being poured into the passing of this legislation. And unfortunately, Brett is saying yes to this at this point, and he needs to switch. So talking to him, you know. Yeah. And he comes from a family of attorneys, actually. And knowing some of that and how that worked, that's not where the family would have had this go initially. But that's not for you to offer, okay? It's not for you to say. Just saying, sometimes we go crooked and we move in the way of what seems to be the way of good, but it's not. So, Father, I just lift this up to you. And, Father, we intercede right now as a family here for the halting and the disintegration, the stopping of this wicked legislation that can affect us directly in our own backyard, in our own schools. God, Father, I thank you that we as citizens of Heaven First have the responsibility to be aware and say no to those who supposedly are representing us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And yes, reaching out if you have the ability to people who are representing us. They're aware of it, and I don't know where they stand, but you can also make your voice known that way if you want to. But this is to affect the entire state of Ohio. So Brett needs to know outside of his county, his district, that no. At least we're going to say no. We try. In Jesus' name, amen? Isn't this great? We have this opportunity in this country. This is our free country. Wow. Let's use those opportunities that we have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children, you have a short time today. I have a few scriptures I just want to highlight so that you have a class today, but it's going to be short because I'm not sure what time we are. Okay, it's going to be very short. But bye-bye. Go get some. Okay, we can put up those verses if you could, Tiana. The first one, I think I gave you three. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege! Amen. Okay. Micah, do we have the Amplify? We can put that up. You have Amplify for both of those, for all of these? Thank you. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, except to be just, and to love, and to diligently practice kindness, compassion, and to walk humbly with your God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness. Let's look at that again. He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require? So this is a requirement from the Lord that comes to us, just releasing us into the reality of this is how you love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? We're assuming we all love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we love our neighbor as ourself. Okay? This is how the Lord speaks to us. And he says he requires us to be just, to love, and diligently practice that love. So even today, with what we've been saying, when we take a step out and to uphold that which the Lord has given us, the righteousness of the holiness of God in this nation, even when people stray from that, they can choose that. But they do not have they take the ability and they have their own right to think what they want. But to punish or to come against those who are standing on what the Lord has said belongs to us and what was our country was founded on, then we have a responsibility to say no. And so we want to thank God for bringing us into a place where even if we don't like the messenger, we like the message. And so we understand that in this season, that many of the things that we love and we adhere to and we want are at potentially at risk if we don't do something. If good people don't do something, then evil wins. So we need to take a step and honor the Lord by honoring those who are taking a step to try to back up what belongs to us. Amen? So if we're to be just, that means that we uphold the justice of God. And what we said for Freedom Cry, and I was telling the people in Columbus about this, about Freedom Cry, I said, when we were in a situation where we opened the doors to the community, not just churches, but the community that has many believers in it, but also, for sure, and I knew some of the people here, some of the people who are embracing or have embraced an agenda that is not just thinking differently, because there's something attached. When we go against the Lord and we continue to go against the Lord, we open ourselves up for spirits to influence us. And so when we make decisions that are not honoring towards the Lord in our own lives, then we just provide an opportunity for the enemy to come and bring harm. And that's where a lot of this rage and animosity and anger comes from. When you say something to someone and you feel as though, oh my goodness, I'm trying to share something that could be helpful, and there's a, many times that's coming from another source that has already affected the thinking, the will, the emotions of people. And if you don't understand how to stand spiritually against things like this, then, you know, the enemy takes advantage of ignorance. And the Lord says, don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So the enemy knows. He knows who we know, but he doesn't know him. He knows who we know, and he's afraid of us. And so when we are armed in things of the Spirit, then we can take our place and we can affect great and mighty change. Let me tell you something. I went to a meeting at the very beginning of pastors, of probably at the beginning of another president prior to President Trump's beginning of that, of whether he was going to go into office or not. And there were many Christians, particularly at that time, African-American pastors I was talking to, but not all. And I was talking to them not from an issue of black and white, but from a place of, what does Jesus say? And there was such animosity in general, not towards me per se, but animosity about the fact that we need to have a Afro-American person to be our president because of slavery, because of. In other words, not that that wasn't a good thing to believe, in and of itself, it has nothing to do with it. Ultimately, it's about what does Jesus say? And who in the world would think that Jesus could pick or be influencing others to say, wait a minute, this person over here is against abortion, and this one's not, but this one's really harsh, and this one's not. Like, what do I do? We have to go to the Lord and understand these scripture verses. And when the messengers aren't who we would hope that they might sound like or be, we have to take a look at what is being done. And so I really encourage you to do that on every front with all of these issues. This is not Republican versus Democrat. This is about evil versus Jesus. And Jesus wins. Okay? Anything that would come against the sanctity of life, babies being ripped apart in the womb, the sanctity of marriage, things like that, that Jesus, the Lord himself ordained, we're talking about these kinds of issues. They're not secondary because they are foundational, that stem from the reason that we exist. We exist because of religious, quote, religious freedom. That's why America actually became a country. People were finding a place to actually practice their faith. So we have to do something, and we have to think that way and talk that way when we're going out to lunch or whatever. What can we do? Hey, have you heard about, you know, the Citizens for Community Action? Have you ever heard about that? No. Do you know what they stand for? Not really. Do you believe, you know, if you're talking with someone about abortion or the abortion issues, lead them to educate themselves, find out a little bit more. And you educate yourselves and you can find out a little bit more. Okay, it's not that you're going to be influenced another way, like, well, if I talk to somebody, they're going to make me think that it's okay for babies to be ripped apart in the womb. No. We're unmovable and unshakable, we believe, there. But actually, President Trump last night talked about executing a baby that was born after 9 months. He used that word. And I don't think that's a word used to get reelected. But at the same time, it's the truth. It is the truth. Because it's killing. Okay, so he has told you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you except to be just? What is justice? Justice and righteousness are the foundations of the throne. And if you get the series from Relentless Pursuit, you'll hear a lot about that from all the speakers and how the Lord wove in this assurance in our spirit. You're on the right track. Keep going. There's a train going sideways. Don't just ignore it. Okay, there's people on that train. It's not just a train. It's not just an idea. It's to affect your children, your grandchildren, and beyond. It's meant to bring harm to us. And the people who are embracing, these people, are influenced wrongly. They need our prayers, right? We need to pray. Before you make any phone call, pray for these people. Pray for them on the phone. Offer that. Can I pray for you? You know, these are real people, but they're thinking wrongly, but their actions, the place that they have, these places of power, enable them to represent us. Not a good idea. It's a good way our system is set up, but we need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. If Corrie ten Boom, back during the Holocaust, okay, was going to, as a Christian, she's going to hide Jewish people in her own house to the risking her life. That's the same thing, except we're doing it through a phone call. In one sense, not exactly the same thing. But the idea is, if you know who she is, and when it was found out that she was harboring these Jewish people so they wouldn't be killed, right? Because she's a Christian, she was taken to a labor camp, and she was taken to the furnaces and all of that. So, you know, God really wanted to help her. And he did. And she went around, you know, speaking about all of these things to help people. So anyway, that's a whole other story. But this is Corrie ten Boom, if you don't know who she is. What does the Lord require of you except to be just and to love and to diligently practice kindness, compassion, and to walk humbly with your God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness, Micah 6:8. Love that scripture. And I started to mention something about Freedom Cry. I want to say one more thing. I'm just reminded I didn't finish that thought. When we had a lot of the world come in here, and we had people who were sharing, as you know, sharing their testimonies as overcomers who had been part of the gay lifestyle and were human trafficked, and that would be Brooke. And then Melissa, who was trafficked, she didn't participate in that other type of lifestyle. But both were able to so share what Jesus had done for them through that testimony that it provided an opportunity to easily speak about, look who Jesus is. And that's over the body of people. Many may not even know Jesus. They might go to church, and they might not go to church. But we were the influencers. And yes, it was here in this house. But we were the influencers, the spiritual influencers, so we have a place. And the Lord's lifting that up. We have to be aware. And we have to take any opportunity that the Lord would give us. So I'm so encouraged about that. People cannot understand why I am on an anti-trafficking juvenile task force, you know, human trafficking in Canton. They're like, huh. Well, they do Freedom Cry. I guess that's good. And they don't understand, you know, where I stand fully yet, but they will, and there will be a place, and I'm there for a reason. I speak at the right time, I hope, because there's you know, not necessarily like we're all on the same page here following Jesus, but there are Christians in that group, so there has to be a place where boldness will come upon us and we say what the truth is, not just in ministry, but in the public arenas as well. So, okay. Can you put the other scripture up for me, please? First Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Okay, first of all, then, I urge that petitions, specific requests, prayers, intercessions, prayers for others, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in positions of high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. I'm going to read it one more time so we can just close your eyes and listen to this. Don't even watch, just listen. First of all, then, this is in 1 Timothy, I urge that petitions, specific requests, prayers, intercessions, prayers for others, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in positions of high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is good and acceptable and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who wishes all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge and recognition of the divine truth. So everything that we're doing is moving the gospel of the kingdom forward when we talk about things like this. Okay? It's expanding us to realize that we are to affect society with our eyes on Jesus. Let me give you an example. When Pastor Benjamin in India, when he was taking a stand, a political stand, if you will, because his life was on the line, because he was so in love with Jesus, because the fire that Peter was talking about had consumed him, the boldness and the courage of the Lion of Judah was upon him, he would take a scripture like this and just say, that's what we do. It's who we are. Now, he's going around as an apostolic missionary around India and different nations and rescuing people and all the things that you know about. But when he steps into the judicial arena, the Lord just turns everything at the right time and represents him because he represents Christ. And it's meant to not just free him, but to set policy, which is what he did. There were firsts that were set because of the way that God did it with him for his life. It brought firsts out for India, judicial policy, legislation. Yes. In this season, in the last 6 months. But that's how God did it. But he was so listening, so close and listening to how the Lord wanted to do things. He just followed the Lord. And he knew that the captivity that he had gone through would end the way the Lord said so, but he sought the Lord. He prays for all these people, just like we do. But then he would step in. And he's not defending himself, but the Lord put people in position. And then policy was labeled. Policy came. Very clear Indian policy for how people are let off on, bail, and what that would look like. And because of his life and how it was done. And the Lord used a very humble person to come in with virtually no money and just stand there and say, yes, I will give up my whole house for him. And the judge looked at him and was so moved by justice and by love and by compassion. Everything you're seeing here, he set new policy. I mean, we just don't realize that when we take a step forward in the smallest areas that they're meant to bring good on a larger front. And that's why it's very important to not sit back and be quiet. Once we have information, we're held accountable for that. Does that make sense to us? When we pray, when we fast, when we come, when we are part of, let's say, Friday nights and whatever we do, for the prayer times that we have here, the Lord's looking on a larger scale of what that can accomplish and what that will look like. And we speak about that. We give testimony about it. Like, oh my gosh, when I was praying for girls in India, I just saw them being released from the brothels and I saw them walking out in the chains. And it's like, yes. And that's good and right. And we see it while we're praying because we're supernaturally taking our right from but living at the throne of God and boldly and courageously going to him in his time, in our time of need. This one lady who was with us the entire time on Friday, I just looked at her and I just held her hand. I started prophesying over her. She's with the Citizens for Community Action. This is Ruth. And the Lord just gave me this strong download about Esther for her and what she's being used for. I could clearly see it and clearly see things that were coming in the future. I just had to be there. And it so wrecked her that when we got home, she texted me this very long text, and yesterday on the phone, very long phone call of how her world shifted and was changed from that encounter. It's like, okay, I just had to go. I had to hear it. Right after Relentless Pursuit, you know, it's like, oh, okay. You're tired. The Lord says, there'll be time. Okay, this is about an assignment. And it's important, and it's right now, even if it doesn't fit in with what your body might be saying. You see? You just listen, and then he gives you everything that you need, and there was complete strength and encouragement. That's how it's been since Relentless Pursuit. Because the Lord is saying, if you're available, I will use you. If you go low, I will increase the Lord, and you will decrease. So praise the Lord. I'm believing that this is going down in Jesus' name in the state of Ohio. I'm believing it. Let's just believe together. Things that we used to believe for, let them be resurrected so we can truly believe and we will see supernatural things in our life. Don't let go of what God's done in the past and let God build on what he's already shown you that's supernatural, above the natural. And then say, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. Let's see this happen. Okay, and the last one. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Philippians 4:6. A very familiar scripture, but when we're in an age where crazy stuff is going on, or at least now it's surfacing and it's hitting closer to home. It's kind of like that barking dog that's out. You might hear coyotes out way far away from where you live, but then you go out to take the garbage and you hear coyotes, you know, and they're really up close and personal. I mean, you're going to say, okay, Lord, what do we do about this, right? Well, that's kind of where we are. With some of this. This is not new information I've shared with you today. It might be for some, but this is hitting home now, and hopefully this will energize people to do some things. I can tell you that in a place called Hilliard, Ohio, that there are a group of pastors who were just meeting with some of the people from this group because they didn't know what to do. Because they're in their city council there, a lot of these, you know, this type of bill was being introduced already at the local level in city council. This thing gets passed in Ohio. It's the precedent for a platform for people to say at the local school board level or the city council saying, look, this is what passed in the state of Ohio, and that's what I want here too, at Jackson Township, in Perry Township, or whatever it would be. See? So, you know, that's why it's important to do whatever we can right now, because you're going to do something. And prayer is the greatest tool And so we never negate that and say, well, now we're, hey, what are we doing? We're all political now here at Frontline. No, we've always been. But now it's a little bit, you know, it's closer to home for some, you know, who need to maybe take some specific action. Okay, so it's not really about being political. It's about being wise. So let's look at this again. Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, that's every, by prayer and petition. Prayer and petition to the Lord. Get your marching orders, then you make your phone call. With thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God, and then you go. I'll never forget, before my dad passed away last December, in November, I took him to go vote in Lake Cable, and I thought, I wonder if this is the last time he'll be able to vote on this earth. And it was. And I remember, you know, as he, you know, I said, Dad, you want me to go in with you? No. And that's my dad. I can do this. And so he did. And he felt good about it and got his little sticker, because nothing was going to stop him, you know, from exercising his right. And that was the best he could do. So what God gives us is an opportunity to do what we can do. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you are in charge, you are in control, and we are not anxious or fearful about anything. We thank you, Father, that you have lifted us to a place where we can see you, love you, want you, in greater capacity, realizing that as you increase, Lord, in our eyes, that we must decrease. There will be no self-righteousness, no self-desire that will overtake anything from your heavenly realm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Father, that I trust that your heart was expressed through my mouth. Father, that people would feel strengthened and encouraged and unified and mobilized to be able to do something beyond what they knew that they possibly could do. So, Father, thank you for that today. Thank you that we have the freedom of speech to say and do what would be on your heart. And we thank you, Father, we do this not because we want just a better, peaceable life for us. We want to be able to lead people into your family. Lord, that's what this is about. This is about making you known in every area. This is about infiltrating places that will, without being challenged, could affect who you are all around this country and around the world. Father, we want to see your name lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the opposition. We thank you, Lord, that it drives us to our knees, to our face. It drives us to a place of realizing there's nothing we can do without you. It drives us to a place of recognizing that you are the solution. And we want to see overcomers when they're rescued. People are rescued out of human trafficking. Father, when people are rescued from death in the womb, that they become overcomers. And those who have been murdered in the womb, Father, that the wonderful mothers and fathers who didn't know any better or became hardened or whatever their reason was, Father, once they come to a recognition of what choices they made, Lord, and what drove them to do it, that they would see you and they would find your mercy. They would know that you're kind and you're forgiving and you're loving, God. And Father, any antagonism would never be towards man. It would be towards the enemy by staying in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that when we fight the good fight, that we are fighting for who you say you are to us. Father, we're standing in the gap for those who don't know how to stand for themselves. And we're taking our places to be able to be positioned for the last days that are upon us right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just lift up our public servants. Father, some of them are trying to uphold your heart and others are clueless. Father, we lift up both. We lift up all of them. And Father, those who are clueless, bring them into a saving knowledge of you, Lord. Bring them into an encounter with your goodness. Bring them, Father, along so that they are not left behind. They are not left out. But as leaders, God, in this realm of us living before you come back in 2019, 2020, Father, let it be let it be that they would have eyes to see that they're really fighting against you. Father, that we would be able to influence them and help them see the truth. Help them to recognize that they shall know the truth and the truth will set them free and they can properly represent you and help others see that. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom and the understanding, spiritual understanding that you give those who do know you, like State Representative Reggie, who knows you for sure. I don't know about Scott, but I know talking to Reggie myself that he indicates that he would do anything for you. So, Father, if that's true, just meet him where he is, that everything that happened to him when we were there would so deeply impact him, God, that he would stand, even if alone, that he would stand for truth and he would let his voice be known, that he would not be silent, and that you would protect him, protect his family, protect all those who would be walking close to him, and that he would be able to be wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. So thank you, Lord. Give him everything that he needs. And those also who are standing in the gap for Israel and others. There's a lady by the name of Candace Keller, who's a Republican down in Middletown area. And she has just come into a knowledge of the larger, bigger picture of who you are in recent times. And she's going to Israel at the end of the month and speaking in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset. So, Father, thank you for connecting her, she and I. And I thank you, Father, that there will be influence that will help move forward everything within the local realm for Ohio. She wants to eventually run for Senator of Ohio. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that this will affect our nation and this will affect the world. Thank you, Jesus. Father, listening to Pastor Jose speaking about the influence that America has in Mozambique, in other countries in Africa, in the same for Pastor Jerseo speaking about those things, that it's very important what we do here, very important what happens in America to the rest of these nations, God. So we thank you that you have lit us up to be a city of light on the hill. And we thank you, Father, that you are telling us to go forward and to make a difference in all areas without compromising. Thank you, Jesus. We just lift up your name. Praise your holy name. May these scriptures encourage us to walk humbly with a contrite spirit before our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. A little bit different Sunday. I didn't really realize that the Lord would move on me this way after relentless pursuit, but he has, so I did. So God bless you, and if you're part of Killing Kryptonite,
thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.